Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Well, I am back and I am still in the kitchen. And you might be wondering, why is Chris in the kitchen? Well, because it's pretty and it's fresh and it's new and it's almost done. And it's also a way for me to just remind us that we're going to be having communion together on May 2nd. And we're going to have a potluck together on May 2nd. And it's just really an opportunity now for me to share with you some thoughts that I'm having about the table of the Lord. Okay? Now, the table of the Lord, we know it as communion. We know it as the table that Jesus invites us to. But it's more than just partaking of a memory of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It's more than just, although he does encourage us, right? I mean, during the Passover, the Last Supper, Jesus was having this meal with his disciples, his friends, and he broke the bread and he took the cup and he blessed it. And he said, do this in remembrance of me. This is my body that was broken for you. This is my blood that was shed for you. And so, yes, this communion table is a table that we're invited to remember. But I would also say that it's a table that we're invited to actually like participate in and access the full benefit of the atonement. And so it's a table that can bring healing to us, and it's a table that can bring reconciliation to us. And it's a table that can do so much for us as we remember the full work of Christ on the cross, his death for us. And so it's also a place of protection. It's a place of, you know, just being like reconciled not only to God, but to each other. So there's a whole lot that happens at the Lord's table. And so that being said, there are other ways that we can experience and express the table of the Lord. And so I wanted to explore that a little bit with you here this morning. And I want to start by looking at Luke 24. Now, of course, we all know this passage of Scripture. It's the story of Jesus who is raised from the dead. And now he's walking on a road with two of his followers who are disheartened. They don't recognize that it's Jesus. But I actually want to pick up the story a little bit later on. He's certainly been revealing himself to them through the Scripture. He's been talking a whole lot with them. I mean, it's a 7-mile journey, so they've had plenty of time to talk. But here in verse 28, I want to pick this up because it says this: as they were approaching their village, Jesus walked on ahead, letting them know that he was going to go on to a distant place. And they urged him and they asked him to remain there with him. And they pleaded, stay with us. It's getting dark soon. And so Jesus went with them into the village. Now he joined them at the table for supper. This is verse 30. And he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them. And all at once their eyes were opened and they realized that he was Jesus. Now there's so much here that I want to say about the sanctity of the table. Like, the table of the Lord is sacred. And in particular, I want to just point to the idea that we certainly remember it with the communion, but also this idea that there are ways that we can know the table of the Lord, not only as a table that Jesus is inviting us to, but also the table that we are inviting Jesus to. Just like these two disciples, they invited Jesus to stay. In fact, they urged him to stay, to remain with them. And so I think that it's really important for us, because as we're reading this, you know, we're recognizing that they took initiative, these disciples, to invite Jesus to come and be with them at their table. Now, I think this is why we pray before our meals. It's not only to ask Jesus to bless the food. It's not simply to thank him for the provision and for the food that we're about to eat, but also to invite Jesus to join us at our table. You know, it's like idea that where two or more are gathered in his name, that he joins with them, that he's there in their midst. Can you imagine that your table, whether it's a couple of you or you by yourself, or you inviting friends over to join you, whatever it is, the table that you sit at to have a meal can be a table of the Lord if you invite his presence to join you in that space. Now, many of you were here this last week when Janine and Ian were here, and Janine facilitated the Art of Hearing God conference. It was awesome. 2.5 days, she stayed on to Sunday. Just fantastic. And you know, whenever we start to go deeper into the ideas of the prophetic, into the revelatory gifts, into hearing Jesus speak, hearing God speak, not only for ourselves, but on behalf of other people, we quickly get into the language of the Spirit, which is chocked full of metaphor and word pictures and symbolisms. And so I think there's a depth to this inviting Jesus to our table that also holds a deeper invitation for us. As we look at this through the language of the Spirit, we recognize that in the same way that the disciples invited Jesus to join them at the table that they had for their supper, in the same way, we have a deeper invitation to have Jesus joining us at our table, but it's the table of our hearts. And so we remember Revelation 3:20. Behold, I am standing at the door knocking. If your heart is open to hear my voice and you open the door within, I will come into you and feast with you and you with me. Now, I love this passage for a lot of reasons. It really does speak to us about communion with the Lord. It speaks to us about our personal relationship with Jesus. It speaks to us about listening and hearing. It speaks to us about feasting. Now, the word feasting there is important. It's not just a snack. I mean, we're talking about abundance. We're talking about more than just provision to get through the day, but we're talking about abundance. And I believe this is in large part what Jesus was referring to when he says, I have come to give you life and life abundant. So there is this deep personal communion that we can have in the place of our own hearts, the table of our hearts. And so this passage really points us to a process of the ancient Jewish wedding invitation. I mean, in the days of Jesus, the bridegroom and his father would come to the door of the bride-to-be carrying a cup of, it was known as the betrothal cup, and a bride price. So something of value that was going to be offered to the bride, actually to her family probably. And so standing outside, they would knock. And if she fully opened the door, she was saying, yes, I will be your bride. As the bridegroom and his father was standing out there knocking. So Jesus and his father, in the same way, they knock. I mean, he is knocking on the doors of every human heart, inviting us to be the bride of Christ. Isn't that interesting? And the betrothal cup of wine is the same cup that Jesus blessed at the Last Supper, declaring, this is the cup of redemption, my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins. And the bride price, well, it's paid by the groom to the woman and to her family. that he's going to marry. And we see this in Galatians 3:13. Jesus paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. So as we swing wide the door to Jesus, we can feast with him at the intimate table of our own hearts. So not only do we invite Jesus to the tables in our dining rooms, which is great, keep doing that, we need to remember to invite Jesus, like, you know, he's there. We just need to remember to meet him there. I want to just go into a little sidebar here about this. There's a reason why we don't meet Jesus at the table of our hearts. I don't think it's something that we consciously do. I just think that sometimes we get busy and we get distracted. But a lot of that is actually a deflection. This is my opinion because it's been my experience over time, where I have not actually been kind to my own heart. I've not liked the things that I've like assessed about my own heart. I felt like at times, mostly I'm inconsistent, and I experience the brokenness of my heart. I experience the inconsistencies and the immaturities and all of that kind of stuff. And so I've put like judgment on my own heart. Like I've been suspicious of my heart. I've been like harsh to my own heart. And you have to know that if that's your norm, you're not going to go inward to meet with Jesus because you don't trust that place. But I want to just share with you that the very place that Jesus has come in to feast with you and to dine with you is the very place that Jesus has redeemed. It's the very place of, well, what is it? It's the inception of your new life in Christ. It's the most beautiful and the most powerful and the most glorious part of who you are. And so please do not resist the very place that Jesus has come in to dine with you. Don't be harsh to your own heart. Allow grace to enter into your self-talk. Suspend judgment of your own heart. Now, this is certainly not selfishness. This is not like egotism. This is not egocentric belief and living. No, this is quite contrary to that. This is Christocentric because Jesus has come in to feast with you. If you're starving on the inside, it might well be because you have hesitated to meet with Jesus at the table of your heart. So my encouragement is invite him. Invite yourself, meet him there, and enjoy feasts after feasts after feast. And just like the followers on the road to Emmaus, listen, hear the Lord speaking. Make room for him at your table. And when we do that, we too will have a place of communion with Jesus that will open the eyes of our heart. We'll experience deeper and deeper revelation of who Jesus is when we meet him there in that place, okay? So, will you take my word for it? If you don't believe that your heart is beautiful, can I just say it to you? It is. And it's not because you've done a thorough job of cleaning up your act. It's because Jesus came in and he redeemed you. And it's beautiful. So let's invite Jesus to the table, not only in our homes, but also remember to meet with Jesus on the daily at the table of your own heart. And this leads us to the Lord's table. And it's not only the table that Jesus is inviting us to, the communion table. It's not only the table that we're inviting Jesus to. It's also the table that we invite others to. It's the table that we share with others. Chris Haggerty and I were in this kitchen today, and we were reminiscing because, you know, as we're preparing this kitchen, I just imagine the shared meals we're going to have together. I just imagine the times that a fellowship that we're going to have and the food that's going to be prepared in this place or served out of this place. And so it's exciting to me. We were remembering the time that he and I and a few other guys, there were just five of us. It was a men's retreat that was hosted by a ranch called Yarmany at Yarmany Creek. And one of the things that this ranch did was they lavished us with incredible meals. In fact, they had hired a chef. His name is Tom. This is going back a few years, but it's still as fresh today as it was then. I mean, I remember the meals that we had were incredible, not just because they tasted good, not just because they were fine, you know, but because of the preparation that went into them, because it conveyed to us that, hey, we're not just feeding your bodies. We're providing a place for you to have fellowship and communion with each other in the presence of the Lord. So they held the value of a meal together as highly as they held any other sacred portion of the weekend that we had together, whether it was times of prayer, times of worship, times of sharing our hearts, times of reflection and meditation on the Lord. They held the table equal to any of those other spiritual practices. And it really was profound for me. I met the Lord there. We all did. There were times in our meals where we were weeping because we were experiencing such communion with each other and with the Lord. So preparing that table, the ministry of sharing life together around a table, can be as sacred as going to church on Sunday morning. I kid you not, and I know some of you have experienced that. So sharing a meal together can also be one very practical way that we can actually make room for others. Do you remember last time we were together at Aspen Grove, I talked about making room for others in your heart? Well, maybe preparing a meal for them, inviting them into your home, inviting them to have time together with you around your meal, inviting Jesus to join you in that conversation and in that experience together. I mean, that is one way, very practically, that we can make room for others in our hearts. You know, as I'm thinking back over the last 2 months, specifically March and April, I've got some good memories about the last couple of months. But I will tell you this, honestly, that some of my best memories over the last 2 months revolve around sitting at tables with family and friends. Actually, let's say the last 3 months. I'm thinking back about, and some of you were at those meals. I'm thinking back on some of these meals and times that I've had with family and friends at our table. It's been a place of fellowship. It's been a place of honesty. It's been a place of safety. It's been a place of encouragement. It's been a place of healing. It's certainly been a place of joy and laughter. You know, I think we need to not understate or underestimate what the table of the Lord can be for us. Not only the table that the Lord invites us to, or the table that we invite the Lord to, and that being also inclusive of the table of our hearts, that we meet with the Lord and feast with Him there, but also the table that we invite others to, as well as inviting Jesus, like two or more gather together in His name. He's there with them. And I know that many of you meeting in Aspen Groves, you've decided to incorporate meals into your gatherings. And I just want to bless those meals. I just want to bless those times that you have together. May you experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in profound ways as you share those times together. So just a reminder, May 2nd, we're going to have a shared meal here at Emmaus. That's why I'm sitting in the kitchen, And I'm really looking forward to that. So with that, I'll close, and then we'll meet back here in just a moment for a couple of prompts. Thank you.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.